Blog Talk Radio.
This is power. This is freedom. This is tradition.
It's Dale Earnhardt with a lead.
This is being who you were meant to be, where you were meant to be. This is more than a race. This is Talladega. The biggest party in NASCAR returns May 5th through 7th for the Geico 500. Call 877-GO-TO-DEGA for tickets.
Hey folks, Timothy Peters, driver of the number 17 Red Horse Racing Toyota Tundra. You're listening to The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain.
Live from Talladega, you're in The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Can you hear me, Reverend Jim?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry, bud. I got you now. Fresh off your trip there from Las Vegas, bud. How's it going?
Well, it's been an insane day. Got a lot of stuff going on, but the trip was great.
That's awesome. That's awesome, Reverend. Let's go ahead and get the invocation going, and we're going to bring Stephen on. We're going to talk a lot about everything that went on out there at Las Vegas Motor Speedway this past weekend, so you got the floor, my friend.
All righty. Lord, we come before you, and we ask you, please, bless all those who are involved with auto racing all over this country. We love the fact that we haven't had any major injuries anywhere, except for one situation down in Florida, but otherwise things have been going pretty good from what we hear. So we ask you, please, Lord, continue to bless us. Bless our country. Bless our leaders. Watch over all of us, and be with our soldiers all over the world that are protecting us. And like I said, bless all the racers everywhere. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Reverend Jerry.
Hey, Mother,
Woo! Woo!
I'm Tim Spain alongside of my good friend, Reverend Joe. from On Track with Jesus, and also SpeedwayDigest.com's Mr. Stephen Wilson up in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Stephen, how you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing all right. It's cold up here. It's rained a rained a little bit today. It snowed a little bit today. And it's supposed to do all of that again, I think, tomorrow, along with a little bit of sleet.
Yeah, Stephen, I mean, you know, I don't think Mother Nature knows what she wants to really do. You know, we've had spring and winter, spring and winter. It's been a – we've had some crazy weather, Steve.
Yeah, we have. It's been a little bit weird because, you know, just this past weekend, right before the weekend came through, we had some 80-degree days up this way, and it was really nice to have some of that. Throughout the weekend, or you know, right before the weekend started, but then it started getting a little bit colder, and you know, we're right here at the base of this whatever this thing is going on, all the way up above me throughout the north and northeast New England area, and we're just kind of at the base of it, so we're just kind of getting a little stray, you know, snow flurry here or there, and a little bit of sleet, but you know, it's just back to being cold again, but here we are in the middle part of March, and I'm just really tired of it because I'm just ready for some better weather.
I am too, Stephen. And Stephen, we had a very eventful weekend this past weekend at Las Vegas Motor Speedway with the Board Gaming 300 and also with the Cobalt 400. And Reverend Joe is going to stay on with us here for a bit. Him and Miss Betty was at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, Stephen. And Reverend Joe, how did everything
yes,
go? Was the weather good out there?
The weather was gorgeous. And it was the racing was really good. I'm sure when you mentioned eventful, you were talking about the deal with Kyle Busch. But that was so short, it wasn't funny.
Were you able to be right there when all that happened, Reverend, or were y'all in the media center?
I was up in the media center looking down and kind of missed, couldn't really see what was happening, and then got a report up in the media center of what was going on and why and all the rest of it. But I don't think anybody really wants to say why of the whole thing. Everybody's replaying the last couple of laps to see what happened and who started what. And in the media center was quite a buzz because they're all trying to figure out what and who and how and why Kyle Busch's head was bloody and Big Mike, the official that pulled him out of there, you know, whether he was dragging him away or what he was doing. And I don't know, you guys have been down in that area too. There's one official, his name is Mike, he's a big, big guy, walks around checking cars just before the race, you know, on pit road to make sure nobody messed with anything. Always has a look on his face like he's going to murder somebody. And he's the nicest guy in the world. And I'm quite sure he reached in there just to pull Kyle out of there so he wouldn't get himself stomped on, you know. There's no real mess with Mike. Mike's too big. But that was kind of a crazy ending to what was a pretty good day. Anytime you come off a four with the last lap, it's going to get nuts.
Exactly, Reverend. And I've met that NASCAR official, Big Mike, and I know Stephen has too. I've met him here at Talladega, Darlington, Richmond, Martinsville, wherever we all go. And Mike is a big old boy. And
yeah, he is.
If you would have seen it on TV, which I know you was in the media center there with Miss Betty and all, but if you would have seen Big Mike, I mean, Big Mike just jumped in there and Joey Logano's crew, I mean, and it was like he took both hands and just grabbed Kyle Busch up under both armpits and picked him up like a rag doll and set him down right out there. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
That's what it looked like on the replays I saw in the media center. I thought at first he picked him up with one hand. I mean, he's just a big guy. He's a nice guy, but, you know, he was doing his job of getting that guy out of there before somebody got hurt, you know. But it was an unfortunate way to end the race.
Exactly, Reverend Joe. And Reverend, I'm gonna let my superstar analyst, Mr. Stephen Wilson, have you because I know he has a ton of questions. And then we'll sort of chit chat back and forth, and then we'll get you out of here pretty quick, Reverend. But thanks again for coming on.
No problem. Glad to.
So I don't know if I'm a much of a superstar, but you know we'll go with that for tonight, I guess.
That might get you in trouble, Stephen.
Nobody's gonna blow my head up, and I'm not my head to whatever. But you know, I was listening a little bit into the conversation of you guys talking about what went on, and you know, there's been a lot, you know, with this whole NASCAR, the incident within, you know, NASCAR at the end of the Cobalt 400 between Joey Logano and Kyle Busch out there. Everybody knows that he is rather hot-tempered in a lot of these racing incidents. And to go out there, and if you go back and look at the last lap, you know, those two out there coming off those turn three, turn four out there, you know, obviously Kyle was not too pleased out there. He thought that Joey Logano really did intentionally did something out there, but you know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, more or less just a racing incident that happens out there. I mean, it could have been anybody out there. There was a slow car out there in front of them, and you know, it could have been Kyle Busch in Joey Logano's position, Joey Logano in Kyle Busch's position. It could have been, you know, the whole role reversal at the same time. And it could have been Joey Logano marching down pit road, because he's been known to do the same thing. I mean, you take a look at the Matt Kenseth and Joey Logano issue from a couple of years ago. You know, this is just a back and forth thing. And, you know, I don't think either one of them did anything wrong. Not on the racetrack. And I don't think they didn't do anything wrong on pit road. This is just a racing incident. Both Brian France and Steve O'Donnell have both been on SiriusXM, and they've said on multiple occasions where they're not going to penalize these guys for, you know, the emotions that crop up in these racing incidents. And I just said something the other day. You know, Tim had posted something out on Facebook, and I made the comment the other day is, you know, a few years ago they, you know, this, you know, let them have at it. And I agree to a certain extent, and I don't see anything where, you know, this was a let them have at it type of event. And, you know, there is the cutoff. You know, Brian did go on SiriusXM and basically said that anybody is invited to come to the trailer at any point. And Richard Bruck, who is the series managing director, will go over where the cutoff line is. I mean, obviously you can't go out there and do what Matt Kenseth did, using your car as a weapon on the racetrack. Nobody wants you to do that.
That's punch each other in the mouth.
Well, yeah, but I mean that's, you know, what's wrong with that? I mean, it's, you know, it happens on short tracks on Fridays and Saturday nights all across America. You take a look at what happens in hockey. I mean, it happens, you know, at any average hockey event. And what do? They put them in a penalty box for 3 to 5 minutes, and they're back out there on the ice skating right again. And they're at their like nothing ever happened. You know, the cutoff really is that, you know, if these guys push one another around, you know, a couple punches, whatever, you know, it's not really that big of a deal. I mean, you know, the cutoff line has to be of some consequence. And I just said this the other day on Tim's Facebook post, you know, when a guy picks a wrench up or a jack handle and smashes somebody's face into the concrete pit wall, that's where NASCAR needs to start reacting at. If a guy walks down pit road with three or four crew and jumps a guy and pummels him into the concrete, or you know, pulls a guy off a race car and throws him on the ground and does something of that nature, yeah, you know, these are the cutoffs. You know, there's got to be a line drawn in the sand somewhere. You just can't do those kinds of crazy things. But you get up in a guy's face and, you know, a little bit of pushing and shoving, maybe somebody gets hit, you know, okay, fine. I mean, these are the emotions that we're trying to, you know, that
we're talking
NASCAR,
a ton of adrenaline.
This is what Right, it's a lot of adrenaline.
We got talking a ton of adrenaline, and until adrenaline comes down, you're not even really, I mean, I'm not making excuses, but you're almost not responsible for what you do. Yep, you got to think of those things, but it's so, I mean, I've owned race cars all my life. I'm much happier if a guy takes a swing at me than if he wrecks my race car on the racetrack. That's, and especially these days when you have car owners who own these cars who, you know, they've got tons and tons of money in these cars, and something happens on the track, and one of the shots that I saw in the media center, one of the fellows showed me in a still shot, Joey Logano's car, when it slid up into Kyle's, was almost off the ground. I mean, it wasn't in full contact with the racetrack. So it was an uncontrollable thing. And if Kyle Busch had 10 minutes to go look at a replay, he might have seen it differently. But unfortunately, like we just said, in every sport, adrenaline's higher. You can't play the game. And unfortunately, he reacted a little bit too quick. You know, I learned years ago, you never get out of your race car when people are mad at you. You sit there and keep your helmet on because you can't get hit too hard that way.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of adrenaline. There's nothing wrong with showing the emotions out there because, you know, when you look at it at the end of the day, that's exactly, you know, what we need to create. We need to create that where the guys are able to go out there as drivers and show that emotion and show that, you know, the on-track product out there as this sport becomes so close and so competitive that it is, you know, some of these things do boil over. And it's not only contained on the racetrack, and I think that it's okay. And there is the lines in the sand that have to be drawn. And I would agree, you know, with what happened with Matt Kenseth by using his race car, well, using somebody else's race car, it wasn't even his race car.
Right.
You know, that's Joe Gibbs' race car that, you know, he tore up a $500,000 race car to just go and use it as a weapon to get somebody else on a racetrack and somebody else's race car, you know, Roger Penske's race car. So there's two race cars and $1 million torn up on a racetrack because two drivers couldn't get along. And you know, that's where you have to draw the line in the sand.
And Stephen and Reverend, Reverend, you touched on a great point. You know, Stephen and I, we were not there. You were, but we actually got to watch it on TV. And it looked like whenever Joey went into turn three, I don't know if he drove it in a little bit too hard or not. You know, I wasn't in the car. Joey was driving it. But Joey did get loose and come up on Kyle. And just like you said, Kyle, if he might would have watched that replay afterwards. But Reverend Joe, you're a racer from, you know, back in the day, and that heat of the moment, you know, I'm not going to blame Kyle Busch for what he did. He was mad. He was really, really mad. He got out of the car, and the only thing he had on his mind was heading straight to Joey Logano, and that's what he did. But, I mean, like they said, who was it?
The one thing you got to consider is, these guys have been out there for 4 hours, racing their hearts out. Now we go into 3 and 4 on the last lap. We're headed for the checker flag, and it looks like to Kyle Busch, like, I can get a top 4 or 5 finish out of this. Joey Logano comes piling in the car with a car that's a little bit loose. We bump into each other. You know, as a driver, I've talked to drivers over the years and said, when would you rather your car broke, on the 10th lap or the 400th? And nobody can answer that question. You know, we want to race, and if we're going to go all the way to the end and then the car breaks on the last lap, it's frustrating, but we had the fun of racing all day. Now you take that and step that up to million-dollar contracts, big wins, big money offered at the end of the season, and all the rest of it. That adrenaline's through the roof. And Kyle's looking at his windshield, trying to make it to the checker flag ahead of the guy on the outside of him, and Joey piles into him. So I'm not blaming Joey. I'm just saying you can understand the emotion. And everybody's got to understand that the cut on Kyle Busch's head didn't come from any of that. From what I could tell, it came from his own crew pulling him off, and he bounced off the hood of the car behind him.
Yeah. And, Reverend, let me pose this question to you and Stephen both. You know, coming down there prior going into turn three there at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, the two car, which is Joey Logano's teammate,
yep,
Mr. Brad Keselowski, he was having, looked like he had some issues. And I want to ask Stephen first. Stephen, do you think Joey might have used the two car as a pick, and that might what have got that might be what got Kyle ticked off a little bit?
Well, as I said, I think that we can go back and we can reanalyze. I think we can reanalyze this 100 ways to Sunday, and really, you know, Kyle could have been in Joey Logano's, you know, shoes, and vice versa, and you know, Kyle could have been in the same position where he was trying to keep, you know, somebody behind and using, you know, Brad Keselowski just as anybody else would have done. You know, I think I don't know why it's strategy-wise you would have wanted to stay behind Brad, because he was having such issues with the car. He was leading there coming, I believe it was two to go, and then that's when the car started having problems, and then he fell back so bad right there coming to the white flag. So I don't really think that, you know, Joey was really using him for much help. Staying up there on that high line, it wouldn't have been beneficial to him. So, you know, he would have most likely really – I can't think of any beneficial reason why he would have been. I think the only thing, you know, that, you know, Joe Logano being much faster, Kyle Busch being much faster, each of them were running totally different lines at that point. The only thing I can think of is that, you know, both of them, again, it's a racing incident. You know, they're trying to get, you know, into the same spot, and only one car can be there. And Brad Keselowski has nowhere to go. Being as slow as he is, for two cars approaching that quickly at that rate of speed in the closing at the closing interval, it really just came down to, you know, those two guys were just really just going for the same piece of real estate at the same time, and I can't see it any other way than just a racing incident, and those two guys would just have to chalk it up to that.
Reverend Joe, your thoughts on that?
I think Stephen's right. The only thing I would add to it is I also think that probably, you know, Brad had such a big lead, and we don't know what exactly the radio chatter was or if anybody knew what was going on, but I have a feeling that when they came up on the two car, they were both shocked it was moving so slow and that they were catching it, because they were both going for all they could get, and all of a sudden that two car's in the way, which, as Stephen just said, it caused a mess, and unfortunately, somebody flew off the handle a little bit too soon. And that's all. That is racing, but we need to somehow or other fix some of that so we don't do that too often. You know, Brad had that race so in hand, it wasn't funny, and I got to be honest, I'm not the biggest fan of Brad's, but I try not to be partial, but that car, you know, to have to get all the way to the end of the race leading by so much of a distance that nobody was going to catch him and have that happen, I think all of them were in shock. You know, you hear over the radio, you might have heard over the radio, the two car just broke, but it doesn't register in that last lap. That last lap, your adrenaline's going, and you're trying to get, you know, you're looking at the cars around you, and you're looking to try to get every car that's on the lead lap in front of you, let me get past them, you know. It's always possible that Brad being dead in the water might have caught their attention, and maybe they thought that was the lead they were going for. That was the win when they came up on him. So you never know what was going through their heads, and I guarantee you they don't know, because at that speed, moving at that rate on the last lap of the race, it's every racetrack I've ever been at, when the white flag comes out, it's everybody for themselves. So I agree with Stephen a whole bunch, and there again, back to the adrenaline. that adrenaline was pumping, and Joey Logano drove into a hole that wasn't there. But, you know, I don't think he totally realized that Brad was up there on the outside taking up a spot. Probably thought Kyle had a little bit of room to move up. And unfortunately, the biggest problem is we've had problems with those drivers before. So that kind of makes it look worse. And I don't think it was so terrible. I think it was more demonstrative when people saw Kyle being led away with his head bleeding. They thought this was really a bunch of people beat him up for nothing when that part was kind of an accident.
Yeah, I will agree with you both, Reverend Joe. I mean, you know, I think it was just a coincidence, just like you and Stephen both said, that the two cars just happened to be where he was at. And, you know, and like both of y'all said, both the drivers have had confrontations before, but, you know, that's just the way the ball falls. But I think NASCAR is really doing a great job. And, Stephen, I don't think I've heard chatter, and maybe Reverend Joe might have heard some chatter also, which NASCAR normally throws down their penalties on sometimes on Tuesdays, sometimes on Wednesdays. Stephen, do you think there will be penalties coming down to Joey Logano, maybe some crew members or either Kyle Busch? I don't think NASCAR is going to penalize either driver or anybody for the incident there at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
Well, I mean, you know, I kind of addressed this really, you know, in the first question right there is that, you know, both Brian France and Steve O'Donnell have been on SiriusXM as well as have addressed it in a couple of other mediums too. Both have said that, you know, they've taken a look at the incident. They've spoken with both drivers. They're going to get both drivers again before they get to Phoenix this weekend. But as of yet, they really have not seen anything where they could penalize either driver for what they've done, either on the track or after, you know, in pit road. So I don't really expect anything. Nobody really expects anything to come out of this. They seem to be okay with what happened, and yet again, it comes back to drawing the line. You know, even Brian himself, you know, he did say, and as I said, you know, he referenced the point about anybody at any time could go to the trailer and speak to Richard Buck, managing director of the Cup Series, and they would you know, they would give you a clear, definitive definition on what they felt was, you know, over the line. So I really don't expect much to come out of this. I think, you know, unless NASCAR is seeing something or has seen something since Monday when, you know, both of them have been on Sirius and have spoken to the media, I don't really think we'll see anything come out of them tomorrow revolving around this situation.
I think
Reverend
you're right,
Joe, your thoughts.
I think we may see some warnings, not you know, just some sort of warning so we don't have that going on with every team in the field. But I think it's pretty much the case. But NASCAR has all the videos from every angle and every tape and everything else. And as they review all that, if they spot something different, then it's a whole different ballgame. But I didn't see anything that would make sense to me to go any further. I think they both probably learned their lesson, and the biggest thing is to warn them, we better not have another altercation in pit road between you guys or your pit crews.
Yeah, yeah. And Reverend Joe, do you have time to stay on or do you need to go? If we need to let you go, I'll let you go. I got my good friend Stephen Connolly wanting to come on. I'm pretty sure he has some good comments or questions that he wants to talk about.
Yep.
But Reverend,
I've
if you
had phone calls while I was on with you, so I better get off here and find out who's calling me for what. So
all right,
we'll
Reverend,
talk to you next
Reverend,
week.
Thank you very much.
God bless
let everybody
you guys.
Know where they can follow you at on social media and your website, bud.
Yep, the website is ontrackwithjesus.org. My email address is ontrackwithjesus@aol.com. And my phone number is 951-232-7630. Follow us on Facebook. Read the scripture we post every day. If you have any questions about any of it, call me. Be glad to talk to you. So have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week, Reverend. Tell Miss Betty we said hello, bud.
Absolutely. She sends her best.
All right. See you, bud. That was Reverend Joe there. The number to call in is 215-383-3681. I'm Tim Spain, alongside of SpeedwayDigest.com's Mr. Stephen Wilson up in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Let's bring on Mr. Stephen Conley. I'm pretty sure Stephen has a bunch of stuff. Let's
get ready to rumble!
Stephen, how you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing good, and it's kind of fitting that you have Michael Buffer there as we're coming out of Rumbling in Vegas.
Well, thank you very much, Stephen. How's it been going, bud? I hadn't spoke with you in a while. Everything going okay?
Yeah, things are, it's not too bad. Got some couple things going on here at home, and still doing my writing. Unfortunately, I had to put the my personal radio show up on the shelf for a little while due to some sponsor issues. But hopefully get that back here soon. But still doing the writing at thepodiumfinish.net, and got some interesting things going on up there. And I definitely had some thoughts on Vegas this past week, and the extracurricular activities that followed the Cobalt 400.
You go ahead, Steve. Tell it.
Well, you know, Tim, there's one thing that no matter where you look online the past 2 days, every racing website up to TMZ has been talking about Joey Logano and Kyle Busch. And you know the biggest thing that bothers me is the fact that, once again, Kyle Busch's antics take away from a driver in victory lane. We saw one of the better races at Las Vegas that we've seen in probably at least 5 or 6 years. The racing Sunday was phenomenal. A lot of side-by-side racing. Several times we saw three-wide racing. And I think this, what we saw on Sunday, had it not been for Busch and Logano, we'd be talking about, you know what, maybe Las Vegas actually deserves that second race. That was a big story, and all of a sudden it seems lost because we have two knuckleheads decide that they want to go bash heads after the race.
Exactly. And, Stephen, I want to correct you a little bit if I can. Not two knuckleheads, but one knucklehead that went down to the other knucklehead.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that gets me, and I heard you and Stephen talking about this just a little bit ago, that both Brian France and Steve O'Donnell have been talking about, hey, look, we hadn't seen anything that really deserves a penalty. I have two sides to this, if you'll bear with me for a minute.
Yes, sir.
Over the last
ahead.
Couple of years, we've seen some incidents on pit road. We've seen some fights. We've seen some guys throw punches, and we've seen penalties at times. Now, we saw a punch being thrown, whether it was landed or not. In Brian France's own words a year ago, if a guy throws a punch, we're going to penalize him. Doesn't seem like that rule had gone away any. But at the same point in time, do you think this is all 100% due to the fact of the new title sponsor? And Monster Energy is not often left field with these types of things. If you've ever watched a Supercross race and four or five of them pile up coming to the final lap, they're fighting right in the middle of the racetrack. And Monster
Exactly.
Energy seems to enjoy that. So it seems to me that with the last-minute decision to add Monster Energy to the NASCAR Cup Series and trying to draw that edginess that they wanted, that this was almost a dream come true early in the season for the sport to be able to promote. Because you know as well as anybody, Texas Motor Speedway is going to have this up on every one of their advertisements leading up to that race. They're probably already starting with their promotions now. Most racetracks will as well. But you've got the marketing aspect of this fight. You've got Martin Truex Jr. winning the first race of the season for Toyota and him locking himself into the chase after a great race at Las Vegas, and everything is focused on the fight. Is it more about what's going on the extracurriculars than it is the actual race anymore? And that bothers me. Let me finish this sentence real quick. If they want this,
okay, go ahead.
Then I would like to see somebody in NASCAR say, you know what, it's okay right now. It wasn't a huge major brawl. It was a fight. It gave a little added extra excitement to the end of the race and another storyline. If NASCAR likes it, say so. but don't make it one thing compared to another just to try to sell the sport.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point there, too. I don't know if it is as much about the new sponsor of Monster Energy. I don't know if it's about, you know, the ratings have been down somewhat, but the ratings have been up and down. And, you know, NASCAR going to this new stage type deal going on at every racetrack that we go to. I really don't know, Stephen, but, you know, you brought up a good point about if there's a punch thrown, they're going to be penalized. But then again, throwback, you know, what they said, what Robin Pemberton said a couple years ago, two or three years ago, boys have at it. I don't know. That's a good question. Stephen Wilson?
Well, I mean, as I've said, I think we've turned really a curve, and I know that this really has gone, you know, one day it's this, and the next day it's something totally different, and for a while there, after that really kind of came out of the boys have at it, you know, for quite a while there, it seemed like it was, as we say, okay until the line was crossed. And then for a while after, you know, after there was some turnaround, most notably with the Indy Cup Series, you know, that those kinds of policies seemed to change. So I think it's really not so much about necessarily what Brian thinks or what he says. I think it's about how the series itself and the changing of the policies within the series themselves and the officiating within the series. You know, there's a lot of parts and pieces that go within this that put the series on. So as each individual and each as the officiating changes throughout the series, you know, the people that brought in the boys have at it, you know, they have since left. And now we have new officiating. And now they seem to kind of ease back into this. And now it seems to be okay once again, where at one point when they first came in, it was kind of like, I'm not sure if we really want to do this. I don't know if this is really going to be a great fit. I know it was said, but let's just try and keep it to a minimum. And they were penalizing some people fairly hard for it. But, you know, as far as the Monster Energy aspect of it, you know, I don't think, you know, sure, Monster Energy, they're in all types of things. You brought up the Supercross thing. I mean, they're huge into the UFC fights and things like that. And they're across all kinds of spectrums of sports and music too. You know, anything and everything, extreme sports and what have you. But I don't think it's necessarily contributed directly to that at all. You know, Monster Energy, they have a very unconventional way of thinking and marketing out there. And there's no way that they went directly to NASCAR and say, hey, you need to create a fight on pit road and, you know, bump this thing up, you know, do it in the Monster Energy Cup Series, you know, versus something else. You know, that's just not happening out there. You know, they're going to promote their brand their own way, and they're not going to, you know, go necessarily to NASCAR and, you know, tell NASCAR to write a storyline per se. It's just, you know, there's too many, like I said, moving parts and pieces, and I think we've now just become to a time where, you know, when Matt Kenseth and Joey Logano got into it a couple of years ago, I think that kind of really squashed some of this, and they really had to put their feet down, because if people were going at it to that extent, they had to draw the line somewhere, and they had to roll this thing back to a certain extent, because what was going to be next? If they had those drivers going out there and using their race cars, then what are they going to do next? If we don't start penalizing and suspending people, we've got to get this thing back under control before it just goes completely out of control. So, you know, now they're kind of now easing back into this and let the drivers kind of handling this a little bit until it gets out of control once again. And then that's when I think we'll see the series go back into a fine and suspension mode to get this back under control.
Right. It's definitely going to have its ebbs and flows where it's going to get to that point. You mentioned something, the Kenseth and Logano incident at Martinsville. And, I mean, Brian France said it after that. He said, we're not going to have drivers using their race cars as weapons. So it seems to me, and you said it, that it's got to have a balance there, that if you're going to use your cars, we're going to step in. But if you just want to use yourself, then I think they're going to leave that until it crosses that line. And there's obviously a line, and the teams draw it, the lines draw the drivers put it in the sand as well, and then NASCAR has to step in. So hopefully this is something that clears itself up quickly, because both of you know as well as I do that when two drivers end up getting into a mix-up, whether it's on the track or off the track, for the next couple of weeks, they find themselves side-by-side racing, starting in the side-by-side spots, and they're next to each other nearly 24/7 when they're at the racetrack. So does that happen at Phoenix? Well, I think it probably will, but hopefully they have everything cleared out of their system before it gets there.
And Stephen Connolly, yeah, you brought up a good point there again. Maybe them two have talked. Maybe they've got it cleaned out of their system. But we are going to Phoenix. And you know how retaliation is. Just like Stephen brought up the Matt Kenseth, Joey Logano deal up there at Martinsville, which we were at. And, you know, I'm sort of on the fence, Stephen. I hope NASCAR has made the great choice going with Monster Energy, which I really do think they do, that they have made the perfect choice. And like I said, the ratings are down and up. And I'm going to go ahead and talk as from a fan's perspective. Everybody likes to see action. I mean, and you know, Stephen brought up earlier when we were talking to Reverend Joe, in a hockey game, you have, they get in fights. Well, they just get put in a penalty box for, you know, 5-10 minutes or what have you. And, you know, I don't know if I'm trying not to cross that line, Stephen Connolly, but fans like to see arguments. I mean, you know, like back in the day, back here in Daytona, when Donnie Allison, Bobby Allison, and Kyle Yarborough got into it. I mean, you know, that was probably the pushing point for NASCAR to make it really great. You know, they had that big snowstorm up in the Northeast and all that. But, I mean, I don't know, Stephen. I mean, let them boys have at it. Let them do it. I mean, let them do what they want to do. But I don't agree, like you and Stephen both said, do not use your race car as a weapon. I mean, if you want to have issues or what have you, if you want to get away from the TV camera from Fox Sports or NBC Sports, go back there behind the hauler. You know, sell it like grown man, be done with it, and go on. That's just my point.
Right. Yeah, it's and I had actually said this after the race. I was like, is this the return of boys have at it? Is NASCAR going to lengthen that leash? But at the same point in time, you lengthen Kyle Busch's leash, and we've seen it before. That old dog will eat, and he's gonna jump in there, and he's not going to be afraid. But at the same point in time, I think other drivers have seen it too, and they're like, okay, well, if NASCAR is going to allow this to happen, and we get in here and we're roughing each other up, and then we have a dust up on pit road after the race or something, how's it going to play out? That's been the issue that I think most fans have had, is that, well, we've got consistency issues. Is it going to be the same for every driver? And that's the only thing that we can hope moving forward. First off, that it's just gone away. But if it's not, can NASCAR stay consistent? And that goes all the way across the board. But the one thing that we all can agree on, the stage racing has brought out an aggressive line of drivers to start this 2017 season.
I would definitely agree, Steve. And I want to quote what you just – I want to quote your question before we go into the stage, Steph, and I'll throw you back over to Stephen Wilson. You know, you were talking about what if – I just want to throw this out there. What if Jimmy Spencer was still racing? If Jimmy Spencer would have done that to Kyle Busch, do you think Kyle Busch would have had the balls enough to go down there and confront Jimmy Spencer like he did Joey Logano? I don't think so.
He confronted Tony Stewart. I mean, yeah, Tony went to Joey, but Joey was not backing down from Tony Stewart. So I would say yes.
I'm talking about
Kyle Busch
now.
Has gone after Kevin Harvick. Yeah, and Kyle's gone after Kevin Harvick. He's gone after some of the Kyle's had a dust up with Tony before. He's had a dust up with Kevin. He's had a couple dust ups with guys that are not afraid to back down. So I would say if Jimmy was still in it, hypothetically, I don't think Kyle would back down from Jimmy Spencer either. Even though he knows what happened to his brother.
Yeah, exactly. Got that nose dotted through the wind. Go ahead, Steve Wilson.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what else to say about that. Y'all pretty much took that one and, said everything there was really to say.
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of hypotheticals are fun to talk about, especially with the way that we've got drivers now.
It is. It is, Stephen Connell. And Stephen, don't be a stranger. I want to thank you very much for calling in. Call in anytime you want to. Give us your ideas or whatever you want to. But, Stephen, let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media and your Facebook and all that stuff. And we're going to take a little quick break, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Facebook.com/Steve.Connelly. Connelly, 24. That's on Facebook. And my Twitter is at Stephen with a PH underscore Connelly, Connelly. And you can follow all of my stories this season. Be a lot of racetracks on the podiumfinish.net.
Stephen, I have to say the last name because we've got two Stephens. Stephen Connelly, thank you very much. Like I said, don't be a stranger. You call in anytime you want to, and thank you very much for your comments tonight. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate it, Tim. Stephen, have yourselves a great night, guys. Take it easy.
Thanks.
All right, you too, bud. All right, Stephen, that was the other Stephen. Stephen, let's take a little quick break, and we will be right back live from Dega Nation. I'm Tim Despain, alongside of SpeedwayDigest.com's Mr. Stephen Wilson.
Walking down the street, a hand of mine, it don't keep them other guys, and that one eye's looking at you. But it's alright, and that's okay, who could blame them anyway? You're so pretty and you ain't even got a clue. Cause everywhere we go, girl, you're the star of the show. And everybody's wondering and wanting to know. What's your name? Who's that girl with the prettiest smile in the world? But what gets me the most is you don't even know that you are the star of the show. You're the star of the show, baby, yeah.
We're back live from Dega Nation. I'm Tim of Spain alongside SpeedwayDigest.com's Mr. Stephen Wilson up in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Stephen, we're going to Phoenix International Raceway this weekend. That's Kevin Harvick's. Woo, Kevin Harvick loves that track there in Phoenix, bud. Let everybody know where we can tune in on the radio and TV this weekend, my friend.
Yeah, we're going to head to the Valley of the Sun this week. And Phoenix International, you know, this is, you know, if you guys don't get out to Phoenix this year, they're going to begin renovating out there here soon. They're going to undergo almost $300 million renovation where they're going to tear out everything on the front stretch, and they're going to move the start-finish line down there to that little dog leg they have there in turn, what is currently turn two right now. So that's going to make it rather interesting. So you don't have too many more races that you're going to be able to see them race in its current configuration. So starting out there on Friday with Cup Series qualifying, which will be at 7:45 Eastern time. Sunday, moving over here to Sunday, we're going to have NASCAR Xfinity Series qualifying is at 1:05 p.m. That's Eastern time also. NASCAR Xfinity Series racing will take place not too long after that at 4 o'clock. MRN has the call, Sirius XM Radio, and Fox Sports 1 for that. And then on Sunday, the Camping World 500 out there, that's 500 kilometers. Yes, I know. It's a little confusing. That'll be at 3:30 p.m. 312 laps out there, 312 miles. That'll be on Fox for that race from the Valley of the Sun at Phoenix International Raceway. So good times out there. Kevin Harvick is most definitely the favorite out there. He's pretty much won everything out there. There is over the last couple of years.
Stephen, thanks for giving that rundown there. And I would like to thank Mr. Reverend Joe for staying on with us. You know, he was at Las Vegas Motor Speedway this past weekend, gave us his thoughts about everything going out there. I want to thank Mr. Stephen Conley for calling in and giving his thoughts on the NASCAR stuff. Stephen, we will be back live again next Tuesday night at 7 Eastern, 6 Central. And I'm working on, I think Suzanne and I are trying to work on, I will let you know, I think we're trying to get Ricky Craven as a guest from ESPN next week. We will let you know about that. Stephen, let everybody know before they can follow you on social media and your website.
Well, we also have Matt Humphries from NASCAR coming on next week. He's going to talk to us.
That's right. That's right. I forgot about that, Stephen. And I will let Suzanne know to get him on the next week. I forgot about Matt. I forgot about Matt.
All right. Well, yeah.
No, thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, not a problem. Matt, he's coming back. He's been outside of the country for the last week or so out there visiting a few places in Mexico, Guadalajara, and a lot of cool pictures and a lot of cool stories out there. I think he went to a baseball game down there here a couple of days ago, but he will join us to talk about the NASCAR Goes West and some of the other things going on within NASCAR next week. But as far as where you can find me at, you can follow me on Twitter at Speedway Digest, facebook.com/Speedway Digest, and SpeedwayDigest.com.
Stephen, I had a blast. Thank you very much for being my co-host. And tell AM and the boys we said hello. And until next Tuesday, we will see you back here live from Dega Nation.
discover me, discovering you. One mile to every inch of your skin like porcelain. One pair of candy lips and your bubblegum tongue. And if you want love, deep sea of blankets, I take all your big plans and break them. This is bound to be a world. Your body is a wonderland. Your body is a wonderland. About the way the hair falls in your face, I love the shape you take when crawling towards the pillowcase. You tell me where to go, and though I might leave to find it, I'll never let your head hit the bed without my hand behind it. You want love, we'll make it. Swim in a deep sea of blankets, all your big plans and break them. This is bound to be a wild. Your body is a wonderland. Your body is a wonder. I'll use my hands. Your body is a wonderland.
This is power. This is freedom. This is tradition.
It's Dale Earnhardt with a lead.
This is being who you were meant to be, where you were meant to be. This is more than a race. This is Talladega. The biggest party in NASCAR returns May 5th through 7th for the Geico 500. Call 877-GO-TO-DEGA for tickets.